Scripture lesson will be from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. This is God's holy word. Give it your careful attention. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place," and he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? From his life is though his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Well, it's good to be here again. It's been a year. The saints in the CREC Church in Los Angeles send their greetings to you. Jesus loves strange and unlikely people. Our text this morning is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd bless us this morning. We pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you would open your word to us. We pray that you would open your holy word to us that we might not simply understand it, but that we might also be doers of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some years ago, we took a tour of the Department of Treasury's Bureau of Engraving and Printing in Washington, D.C., and that's the department that designs and oversees the production of our paper money. As we walked around the huge lobby, the gigantic scale of the amount of treasure produced, stored, and distributed by the Bureau was immensely apparent. Treasurers of nations have immense power and wealth at their disposal. But this morning we'll see in Acts, treasure for the treasurer. Treasure for the treasurer. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin there in verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. We're going to see the famous story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now we begin here in verse 26, and it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" Now, we're plopping down in the middle of the story, so we need to do a little bit of background work here. Now, all the time that's gone on from the beginning of the book of Acts here has not been that long at all, perhaps as little as under 1 year. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He sent forth his Spirit at the day of Pentecost. The church has grown magnificently, and then persecution came. The deacon Stephen was stoned, and through that the church was scattered. But in that, Jesus' words were fulfilled as he was preparing to ascend. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And after the church was scattered, Philip the deacon went up to Samaria. Samaria is an interesting place. It's filled with exiles that were left behind during the days of the Assyrian exile. We see the Gentiles were brought in from the other side of their empire, and they mixed together, so they're really like half Jews. And Philip went up there, and he preached to the Samaritans, and the Spirit came with great power. But now we see that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a eremos in the Greek, a desolate place, a desolate place. He's gone from Samaria now out to a desolate place upon the command of the angel of the Lord. Verse 27 and 28. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. This is very interesting. Not only who this man is in and of himself, but also what his occupation is. Now, first of all, he's a eunuch. And we don't have eunuchs in our days. And particularly, we don't have court eunuchs. The last of the court eunuchs died sometime in the last century. They're from the Chinese royal house. But what is a eunuch? Well, this type of eunuch would have likely have been a slave. He would have been taken from his family against his will. He would have been castrated at the age of 8 years old. Now, because of this, he would have matured and gone through puberty different than other young boys. He would have been less physically strong. He would have been less aggressive. But most importantly, he couldn't have children. Now, if you read anything about royal families, particularly in unstable times and in ancient times, you'll see a similar story always coming up. You've got a royal advisor, and he sees the power of the king, and he decides, I'm going to seize the kingship for myself, and then I'll start my own dynasty by putting my sons on the throne. But you see, a eunuch couldn't do that. And that's why they like to have eunuchs as close advisors. So at the end of the day, a eunuch really has no family. This eunuch here has no family. He has no bloodline. He'll have no children coming after him. He was likely separated from his family and put into the royal family. Here is a man who has no family. Now, as to occupation, he is Candace. By the way, Candace. Got some people here, maybe they have the name Candace. Candace is actually a title. It means queen. So here you have Candace's treasurer. Candace's treasurer. Here's a man who's bringing treasure, representing treasure from his nation. And in fact, what we have here as he shows up to Jerusalem, he is the first fruits of the treasures of the nations. Now, notice what happened here. He came to Jerusalem to do what? To worship. Here we have an Ethiopian eunuch coming from the far ends of the earth, and he's come to Jerusalem to worship. How did he know to come to Jerusalem to worship? Well, there's been a lot of speculation about who the Queen of Sheba was. 1,000 years before this, who came to King Solomon to hear of his wisdom, to see the glories of Jerusalem and the people of God. But Josephus says that she was the queen of the Ethiopians. Now, as he comes to Jerusalem as a representative of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, this eunuch would have likely brought with him many treasures as he comes to the city of God. The queen of Sheba also brought treasure. And now we see a treasure man arrives from another Ethiopian queen. Let's go on to verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now we've got the Spirit. You'll notice that in caps there. The Holy Spirit of God comes and speaks to Philip and says, go over and join this chariot. Now think about this. This man's been in Jerusalem. And now he's in Eremos, a desolate place. He's heading back home. He's heading back home and he's perplexed. Now imagine the things that he's seen in Jerusalem. He's coming in the wake of the events of the crucifixion, of the resurrection, of the early church growing powerful by the Spirit being poured out, of great persecution coming on the church, people having counterclaims on who Messiah is and who Messiah is not. He's going home perplexed. And here he is, heading home out in a desolate place, and God sends his messenger, his emissary, because God is good. God is good. Let's go on to verse 30 and 31. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip, I imagine, is running along the side of the chariot of this man who's reading still the scripture, holding on, trying to understand the things of God, having gone to a place where he's coming back perplexed, and a man runs up right alongside him, asks him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I, unless someone guides me? Unless someone guides me. Now, he just came from the temple. Now, if you look at ancient Israel, you'll see that it's laid out in the center of the world. At the very crossroads of the world, we find Israel and the Levant, All the nations have their crossroads of trade running through there. And in the middle of that, in the center of Israel, what do we have? We have the holy city of Jerusalem, a city filled with priests. You see, the Israelites were supposed to be the priests of God. Remember that back from Exodus? They were supposed to point to the living God and draw the nations in and say, come, worship Yahweh. And in the center of Jerusalem itself, we've got the temple. And if you look at the temple and the laws concerning the temple, anybody could come and offer sacrifices to the living God except one offering, and that is the Passover. To do that, you'd have to become a Jew. But you see, the priests are supposed to be there, answering questions, teaching people about God, having the nations come in and pointing them to Yahweh God. But we've got this man who's gone to Jerusalem, probably gone to the temple, and no one has guided him in the scriptures. Now imagine when he got there, he was probably a strange-looking fellow. If you've ever seen photographs of eunuchs, they're rather strange-looking, smallish, effeminate-looking, dressed in the robes of Gentile nations. I've got a feeling nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. They didn't answer his questions about the scripture. And even if they had, they wouldn't have understood. Going on to verse 32 through 34. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? He'd just been to Jerusalem to worship, and yet he hadn't heard of the suffering Messiah. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So we've got this eunuch, and he's heading home empty. He's out in an unlikely, desolate place far from Jerusalem. Think about that for a moment. He headed to Jerusalem. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him? Put yourself in his place. He's apparently gotten permission from the queen. He's carrying great gifts. He's in his chariot. He's been studying the scriptures. He's got questions. He thinks all these things are going to be answered. He's going to finally understand the true things about God. In his excitement, he heads off to Jerusalem. But it doesn't work out that way. And now he's heading home confused, perplexed, likely depressed. And out in the middle of a desolate place, God brings a man to him to come and cause everything to come together with the good news, the euangelion, the gospel. He hears the gospel out in this desolate place that Jesus came, that justice was denied him by men, that God's justice might be met on him, his life for our life, resurrected for vindication, and Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father to reign and rule over creation, transmitted to the Ethiopian eunuch out in the middle of a desolate place. Verse 36, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now I'm going to add verse 37 in. Some of these translations don't have 37 in it. And it says, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He saw water and he wanted to be baptized. You see, baptism isn't just simply an appendage attached to the end of our faith. Faith and baptism are related and drawn up together. Faithful Christians are baptized. We see here that Philip must have preached faith and baptism, that he must be baptized. And so he sees water and he says, shouldn't I be baptized? Of course he should. Of course he should. Now here's why it's important. What does baptism do? Well, among other things, baptism is the rite, R-I-T-E, of passage into the church. Baptism is entry into the family and household of God. Every time you see a little child getting baptized in here, they're entering into the church. They're entering into the household of God. They're entering into the family of God. Now here we've got a eunuch. He has no family. He's going to have no children. His bloodline has been extinguished to what they've done to his physical body. But through baptism, the eunuch now has a family. Through baptism, The eunuch has a family that's thicker than blood. It's brought together by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's united to you and I. We will see him one day, and we will spend eternity worshiping and serving and glorying joyfully together with him forever and ever. Verse 39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. He went away rejoicing. You would have rejoiced too. Now he has this man that comes up to him and preaches the gospel to him, administers a sacrament to him out in the middle of nowhere. But notice there's no question here about who is this man? Where did he go to? It's not important. The eunuch goes away rejoicing. Now let's go ahead and fill in some backstory here. I believe this story is related to the story of the Queen of Sheba in some very interesting ways. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to hear his wisdom, when the Queen of Sheba came to Jerusalem to see the glories of God and the city of God and the worship of the true and living God, she brought with her great treasures. But the other part of the story is that a lot of people don't remember is what she went away with. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired or asked for, beside what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country. Now, we always think of the Queen of Sheba bringing great treasures to Solomon and then sitting at his feet and hearing his great wisdom and seeing the glory of how his household is organized and how the kingdom of God is organized. But notice what happened. She brought great treasure, but apparently she went home with even more. Solomon said, "You take whatever you want. God has blessed us so abundantly. Take treasure home with you." And she heads back to Ethiopia with great treasure. And here's where the parallel comes, because we see that this treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, also likely came with great treasure, but went home with even more. In fact, I think he's fulfilling scripture. In Isaiah, the very book that he's reading, it says in Isaiah 56, verse 3 through 5, "Don't let the immigrant who has joined with the Lord say, 'The Lord will exclude me from the people.' And don't let the eunuch say, 'I'm just a dry tree.'" For you see, that's how people would have thought of a eunuch. He's a dry tree. There'll be no fruit of children upon his branches. But God says, don't let the eunuch say that. And then in verse 4, it says, "The Lord says, 'The eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, choose what I desire, and remain loyal to my covenant. In my temple and courts, I will give them a monument and a name that is better than sons and daughters. I will give them an enduring name that won't be removed.'" He's saying the eunuchs will be brought near. That those who have no families will be made part of the family. That they'll be brought near as sons and daughters. That they'll serve in his temple and in his courts. They'll have a monument and a name that is better than the sons and daughters of naturalness. We see here that that's what's happened to this eunuch. This strange man from a strange place far away who was brought near, brought into the family of God. For you see, at the end of the day, we are the eunuch, are we not? We were far away and we've been brought near, brought into the family of God. Verse 40, "But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Do you know what Azotus is? By the way, you guys are really quiet. Good Presbyterians. Azotus is Ashdod. Name ring a bell? It's a major city of the Philistines. It's where the Temple of Dagon was. Back in the days of the Judges, when they captured the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it into the Temple of Dagon, and then the statue of Dagon's laying on the ground with his head and his arms broken off, and plagues break out, and they recognize the true and living God through what he does to them. The Philistines, the great enemies of God, were at Azotus, which was Ashdod before, and now the gospel's coming to them. We oftentimes think of the gospel coming to the Gentiles in the time when Peter goes to the centurion's house, Cornelius. But prior to this, we've got the Ethiopian eunuch having the gospel preached to him. He's taking it back to his homeland. Furthermore, it says here, until he came to Caesarea, and he's preaching all along the way. So he's going from the city of the Philistines to Caesarea, Caesar's city. And the gospel is being preached there. Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. Philip will found a church and settle there. Richard Walters was an unlikely character. After retiring from a career as a jet propulsion engineer, Walters voluntarily became homeless, sleeping on a bench on the grounds of a retirement home. eating in a hospital cafeteria, and using a public telephone where he made various stock trades from his substantial portfolio. When he died, it was revealed that Walters was an unlikely treasure man, leaving millions to friends and charity. God loves to give treasure to unlikely characters. The treasure of Ethiopia is unlikely as they come, becoming the first Gentile recipient of gospel treasures which have been poured out through this church age. Now, friends, do you know some unlikely people that are in need of treasure? The foreign neighbor who seems to be an adherent of a non-Christian religion. The gay classmate at college who seems to be intrigued by your Bible reading at lunch. The noisy teenagers who seem to have no parental oversight and hang out on the bench under the lamppost on the corner by your house. Ask God to make you a bold proclaimer of the great treasures of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we've seen treasure for the treasurer. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon us this morning, that we might be bold in these trying times, that you might use us to preach the gospel to those who seem unlikely as followers of you, but that you would work powerfully through us and through the church, and that you would convert the unlikely. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.